Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. I'm Doug Fain. On today's program, we're going to take a walk down memory lane about Jessamine County Schools and in particular, superintendents that we've had throughout the years. To do that, we'll be talking to the current Jessamine County School Superintendent, Kathy Fields. We'll do that right after this word from our sponsor, the Farmers Bank of Jessamine County.
Beginnings are important, especially when it comes to building a future. From start to finish, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County will be with you every step of the way. Whether it's a house, a car, a college fund, or saving for retirement, it all starts here. Stop by any of our four convenient Jessamine County locations today or visit us on the web at myfarmersbank.net. Banking with friends and neighbors, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County, equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Well, good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. Glad to have you on this Saturday morning as we continue to learn and reminisce about people, places, and things of Jessamine County. Well, today with us, we have a lady who I normally talk to on my regular show every Wednesday about Jessamine County Schools, and we're going to do that today, but we're going to talk about some different things as far as history of schools. With us is our superintendent, Kathy Fields. Jessamine County, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Doug, and thank you for this incredible opportunity to share about the rich history of Jessamine County Schools.
And we've got a bunch.
Yes, we do.
We've got a bunch.
Yes, we do.
I thought what we'd talk about, just some different things. I know you've had some staff get you some history together and things about some of the past people that held your job and superintendent. But let's start with you and talk about kind of how you came to this point to kind of get us going. Now, you are a local.
I am. Actually, my path began here in 1966, if you can believe that. I actually entered the doors of Nicholasville Elementary School as a first grader in 1966.
Now, Will Osborne is going to hear this, and he's going to laugh and say, well, I wasn't even born then.
I know. 1966, 67, that's exactly right. I was a first grader at Nicholasville Elementary School. And one of the things that I shared with the board during my interview was how when I fast forwarded to 1997, when I walked in with my son, Marshall, I wondered how, if I felt the same way that my mom and dad felt walking into Nicholasville Elementary School many years prior to that. So I began my journey 1966-67 as a first grader at Nicholasville Elementary School.
You know, it's interesting that you bring that up. My mother has said many times that she can well remember the first day that I got on the bus.
Yes.
I was the oldest. My little brother stood there bawling his eyes out because I was leaving.
Never coming back.
Yes, never coming back. And I almost wonder if she thought that too, because, you know, here is her child. Because remember, back then, there was no such thing as preschool and kindergarten.
Correct.
And so I actually started as a four-year-old and turned five like 2 or 3 months later. And so she's putting her four-year-old child on a bus with, well, I might say, incredible bus drivers. Incredible. Even then, we had some great ones to go off into this world. And so I can only imagine. Now, my first day taking my child to school actually was to the village when it was in Wilmore. And it was a pilot plan to do an all-day school. She got picked. And I did okay. She did okay. Mama didn't do too good.
It's always harder on mama.
But, you know, then you, after about 2 years of it, you're like, oh, will you please go to school?
Exactly. But you also have to remember back in 66, 67, we were on the bus also with high schoolers and middle schoolers.
That's right.
Because when, when you took Kaylee, it was a dedicated route. Had just, you know, first graders and kindergartners on the bus.
A whole lot different. Now, can you remember, I know you can, you probably name every one of them.
I can.
Who's your first grade teacher?
Her name was Sedalia Jones. And her husband was a seminary student. And I remember the classroom. And Doug, it was so awesome because when I came in as principal there in 1997, there were still times, even though the building had been renovated multiple times, that I could still smell those smells. There were, you know, our olfactory nerve just sends those memories back to us. And I could still smell a crayon and have a memory of walking down that hallway. I could smell spaghetti and still have that smell, that memory of what was going on in first grade. And those were good years. And of course, I loved school and knew from that point on that I wanted to be a teacher.
Did you really?
I did. I really did. I loved learning and I loved My sister, Susan Middleton, would say that that was the very beginning of my military career when I was learning to be boss of the world. And I would come home, and of course, you know, she was home with my brother Keith, and I would teach them because that was my responsibility as the oldest child.
Your sister Susan, and I started the next year.
Yes, you did.
And walked through those doors.
Yes, you did.
Virginia Reynolds was my first grade teacher, who taught for many years in one room schools, I guess, down at maybe, I don't know if she was Little Hick, Chrisman Mill, somewhere in that area. But you're right about that. And you know, it's odd, the memories that you have about those years.
Yes.
Some of the most blatant to me is, this is crazy, the hot water registers in the room.
Oh, yes,
because
on the side.
Because on the side of the room. Because we used to take modeling clay and melt it. We weren't supposed to, I don't think, but we did. And melt it. And the other thing, one of the other things I was thinking about last night, milk break. I was at a site-based meeting, and we were talking about some things, and I brought up milk break, and there was teachers in that room that looked at me like, what in the world are you talking about?
I have no idea what that means.
And I remember so well, at that time, they didn't sell chocolate milk.
Right.
They sold white milk.
Correct.
My mother would take those little Tupperware salt shakers that they used to sell.
Yes.
And fill it up with chocolate powder and put the cap on and wrap it in tinfoil.
Yes.
And I would take that with me in my little box.
So special.
And put it in the in the white milk and shake it. And that's how I got my chocolate milk for milk break.
Yay.
Now, how many years has that
been? That's been a little bit of a while. That's
but
been a while.
But it's great to have those memories.
It is.
Even though they're minor to most people.
It is.
To me, that's an important time of my life.
It is. It is. And that actually segues to one of the things I'm most proud of in my legacy. And that's the fact when I came in 1997, Brenda Garrett, at that time, Mike's mom, was our director of food service, and she and I worked together to start the first breakfast program.
Really?
In Jessamine County. We started that at Nicholasville Elementary School because we knew at that particular time milk wasn't enough for all of our students. And then when we started looking at dealing with the whole child, we knew that if they were hungry, they couldn't read or learn math. Right. So I was real proud of that. Brenda and I brought the first breakfast program to Jessamine County Schools, and of course now we have it across the district.
Now, when you were taking Marshall in 1997, were you principal at that time?
I came in as principal in 1997. Marshall was a first grader.
So, man, what a first day for you.
I know.
Not only your child, but this job.
It was coming back home, and yes, and I didn't know that you could ever come home.
Because you had been away from here,
I had been. Actually, I graduated from Jessamine County High School in 1997.
Yeah. Wait a minute.
I'm sorry, 1979.
Yes.
And then went to Georgetown College and started my career teaching.
Yeah.
So when the position opened in 1997 and my sister called and said, it's time for you to come home, I said, okay, but I'm not sure I'll ever be able to come home, you know, that sort of thing.
Right.
And so I applied for the position, came home. And so, yes, my first day as principal of Nicholasville Elementary School was Marshall's first day of first grade.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was really kind of nice. And of course, bless his heart, Marshall and Alexander both say they don't know how to not behave. People make comments about that all the time about their manners, but they were raised in school.
Right.
So they don't know any differently.
Well, hey, and they had a bunch of eyes on them.
Yes, they did. Bless his heart. Marshall used to say that even when he went to Jessamine County High to West High School, that he had folks that were watching him then. So, yeah, their first day of school without me actually was at West Middle School.
Isn't that
so?
Something?
My first day of school without them was actually their middle school days. And that was when they begged me to drop them off at on Wilmore Road. Please, Mom, we know the principal.
Walk.
Please let me walk. Let me walk.
Yeah, I've been there.
So, but yeah, from there. But remember then, Doug, we had in 1967, we had the Chamber Building there on the campus.
That's
and so I actually went to the Chambers Building in third grade, had Linda Smart Johnson as my teacher then. And again, that was when the tornado hit. If you remember, we were still in double session. And so we were trying to get buses in and out. And again, knowing what I know now about school safety, I can't fathom what that was like. I mean, we're talking about in the early late 60s, early 70s, technology, you know, we had one intercom, we had one telephone, and we were trying to get those administrators were trying to get multiple children on a bus safely home and then deciding what to do with those children that were coming into school. So, so and then from there, when they opened the country school, the country kids went to Warner. So I started over at Warner. We sure did. And
so let's see, the year it opened, you would have been fifth grade.
I was in fifth grade.
Right.
Yeah, I was in fifth
wondered,
grade.
And wondered, how are we going to navigate around this beehive of a building?
It was absolutely amazing. Yeah. And, of course, then I had Donna Lehman, who my absolute mentor. And
great piano. Did she teach you piano?
She did not teach me piano, but I sat at her side for just about everything else. I wanted to walk like her, talk like her, dress like her, be like her. I wanted to be her. And she was absolutely amazing. And she was actually one of the first people to say to me, you have the capacity to teach. Wow. And so when, you know, we talk all the time about never underestimating the people in our lives that we pass every single day, our parents, our teachers, they really leave indelible marks. And Donna Lehman was one of those people with
me. Good woman. I guess I had her in fifth grade, too. In fact, she was in a pod.
Yes.
For people that went to that school understand what I'm saying. There was Myra Brown was in that pod with her. And I'm trying to think who was on the other side. But it's amazing in my mind how I can remember those groups.
Yes.
Fourth grade, just for instance, Barbara Graff, Lorda Conyers, Darlene Adams.
Yes.
Boom, that was it.
Yes.
And it's funny how that sticks with you.
Yes.
Now, when you were hired as principal of Nixville Elementary, who hired you?
Larry Allen.
Okay, so that is superintendent. Before we get to the line of maybe some of those superintendents, how long were you principal at Nixville?
I was principal for 12 and a half years before I was reassigned through the No Child Left Behind Act as the first district liaison between the state and the central office for West Middle School. And that was when we were looking at tier status, and there were some implications there. So I actually left the principalship officially in 2006, went to 2007 as interim principal when we were looking for a new principal when Terry resigned and retired. And then I went to central office as chief academic officer, assistant superintendent, and then in 2013 became superintendent. Yes.
Did you ever in your wildest dreams, when Susan, your sister, called you and said it's time to come home, did you ever in your wildest dreams think that you'd be sitting where you are now?
No, never in my wildest dreams because I always wanted to teach.
Yeah.
And, you know, I say so many times and just actually said to my staff last Tuesday to professional development, when I'm gone, when I'm buried and my kids are standing at the grave, I hope someone says two things about me. She was an incredible mother. She loved her boys better than life. Mm-hmm. And she was a good teacher.
Yeah.
And so that's all I wanted to do. I didn't even want to be a principal. I never aspired to be a principal. Certainly didn't aspire to be superintendent. And it was just one of those things, Doug, where again, one of my mentors, who was Lois Rogers, who was one of our other former superintendents, said to me at a Women's Institute for Leaders, when the door is open, you need to be able to walk through it. And so it seems as if I've been at a place in a time when that door opened, and if I didn't walk through it, someone was going to push me through it. So when I look back at 1979 and think about walking across the stage there at Jessamine County High School back in the day when we actually graduated from the high school.
In the gym.
In the gym.
With no air conditioning.
With no air conditioning. And I actually, it was my 18th birthday. It was May 25th,
really?
My 18th birthday. And I remember thinking, oh my goodness, what's life going to hold for me? I mean, I was just, you know, prolific at that point. So I was thinking, well, what's going to life hold? And then when I walked back in 1997 as the principal and thought, oh my goodness, I really have arrived. And now when I go back in and I get to address the student body, or I get to be at the East-West ball games, and I'm at Walmart and the kids come up and, you know, they'll talk about my shoes at graduation or the speech and that sort of thing. This has been a real good ride for me.
Good.
And I owe so much of who I am and what I've become to this community. And I love that.
And a lot of people that you have mentioned, some people you've mentioned already, and a lot we're going to mention as we get into this, that have brought us where we are today. Folks, things have changed, and they will continue to change. Schools in 50 years from now are not going to be anything like they are at this point.
No.
Just like they're not when Kathy and I graduated. They're just not. Some of it good, some of it bad. I mean, just that's the way life is. But there's been a lot of people. We've been very fortunate in our community. We've had a lot of people that has held your job.
Correct.
To get Jessamine County schools where they are today.
Correct.
So let's kind of start and go backwards.
All right.
You're here now.
Right.
So let's kind of go backwards down the line as far as maybe we can.
All right.
And talk about some of these people and maybe some things they did. Now, right before you was Lou Young, of course.
Right. Lou Young. And Lou, of course, is also a native of Jessamine County. Yes. Lou and I were classmates, although she's older than me, and
I have to make sure I say that. You graduated in 79, and I think Lou was 76 or 77.
76 or 77. Yeah. I'm not sure. Yeah. Okay. I'm not sure.
So Lou came and went on to Fayette County before she retired.
Chief academic. Yeah. That's correct. Yeah. That's correct. Lou actually preceded me, and under Lou's administration, she started in 2004. Mm-hmm. And if you remember her journey here, she started as a Spanish teacher.
Right.
And then she went in as a curriculum resource teacher, then as assistant superintendent, okay. then into superintendency. But during Lou's tenure, there were lots of major construction. Uh-huh. You know, we are a growth district, add 100, 150 students per year. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't sound like a lot of students until you start thinking about that cumulatively. And it seems that it hit during the time of Hugh Adams and under Lou Young. Mm-hmm. So under Lou's tenure, we had the additions to West Jessamine High School. There was the construction of JCTC.
Oh, yeah.
You remember that was one that talk about innovation and things looking differently for the, you know, how many years had we sent students to the Votek School in Lexington?
Yes.
And now, you know, the board was forward minded and thinking, let's build that mm-hmm. here. Mm-hmm. We remodeled Brookside. She added on additions to East Jessamine High School, construction of East Jessamine Middle School. If you remember, we had that was the construction under and then the remodeling of the Early Learning Village, which you alluded to with Haley being in Wilmore. Right. We took what was the junior high school and completely renovated that and made that into a learning village for our 3, 4, and 5-year-olds. And then, of course, the construction of Red Oak.
Yes.
Which is currently now sitting.
Now, did it start under Lou?
It started under Lou, yes.
But it ended in your term,
correct.
Right? Yeah.
Correct.
And so we have six, is that right? Six elementaries?
Six elementaries and an early learning village, yes.
Wow.
Yes.
All right. So before Lou.
Before Lou, we had an interim superintendent during that time. That was when Pete Royce was here. He was here for a year, 2004. And of course, Pete's leadership.
Oh, yeah.
He was so known for his capacity to build leadership, to be minded of our budget, our facilities, and that sort of thing. So. Lou was just, she was so fortunate to have had him follow her for that piece of time. Then we had Linda France. Linda was also a guidance counselor prior to coming on as assistant superintendent under Dr. Allen. Mm-hmm. And she was here in 1998 to 2003. Okay. And then when she left us, she went to the State Department as associate commissioner.
All right. So Linda. We'll be back to when did you say 98?
98, yes. And it was during that time that we opened the Learning Village.
Okay.
Linda actually, it was her vision to.
In Wilmore.
It was her vision to incorporate all of the early childhood facilities into one. That was when, at that time, all of the elementary schools still had the 3- and 4-year-old program in our schools.
Now, I may get ahead of myself here, but was it in her tenure when Wilmore Elementary, the new one, was built? What is now elementary?
Yes.
Because it used to be where the village used to be.
Correct.
Where Providence is now.
Correct.
Yeah, okay.
Correct.
So, okay. So, who'd you say, who were we talking about?
Okay, we were talking about Linda France.
Linda France.
Current Wilmore Elementary School.
All right.
And then prior to her was Dr. Allen, Larry Allen.
Okay.
And Larry Allen started in 1991, ended his tenure in 1998.
When you start mentioning these people and the years, I'm like, where has time gone?
I know. Dr. Allen, again, was the superintendent who hired me. And there were times that we had many conversations and laughed about it as principal. He wouldn't tell me all of the details about the things that he wanted me to do until I signed my contract. And I laughed many years later saying, you know, had I really known, I'm not sure I would have signed it. And he said, well, I was a whole lot smarter then. That's why I made sure that I didn't tell you. But he was an incredible role model, incredible mentor for me. And I was really sorry to see him go. And he spent a great deal of time fishing and hunting and telling great big stories, I'm sure. And now he's an adjunct professor.
It's hard to believe it's 20 years since he's been gone.
I know.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Who was before Lou?
Then it was Lois Adams. Lois Adams.
All right. Lois Rogers Adams.
Yes. And she was here in 1989 to 1991. And of course, the major emphasis and role that Lois played was that was during the implementation of CARA. So that was when all of the curriculum and instruction, as we knew it at that time in Kentucky, was deemed needed to be renovated and upturned. Mm-hmm. We had our the funding sources were upheaved, and at that point, she started what we now know as CARA, and she was here 1989 to 1991.
Let me back up just a moment, because I think we failed to mention in 90 and during Larry's term, Larry Allen, that would have been when the high school.
That started. Is exactly right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. That was when, remember, we had the straight line winds.
Right.
That destroyed Jessamine County or damaged Jessamine County High School. And then in 1997, that's when we split. We split east and west and took 2 week hiatus and completely rebuilt that school and housed it. And we then went from a one high school district to two high school districts.
So that was during Larry Allen's
That was in 1997. That's correct. That's correct.
Lois Rogers is where we were.
That's right, 1989. And before that, we had Donald Martin. And Donald Martin was here 1983 to 1989. And that was during the time that we saw the beginning of the Independent High School Project. Mm-hmm. So that was when it was located here in town. And, of course, now we know that's become one of the most model alternative programs, and that's the Providence program here. Warner Elementary, the separate Warner Elementary, was constructed under his tenure in 1986. Yeah. So we took it from the complex that was the junior high and separated that out from the middle school and put that over as a simple, as a separate entity.
Well, I tell you what, 86, 30 years, if we just stopped right there, I would almost be willing to say that those 30 years, I mean, you look at all that's happened in the school system.
It's amazing.
From not only growth, but that causes the building.
Yes, yes.
But the innovations and the CARA and the core testing and all this, I would almost say that more probably happened in our county in those 30 years than any other time.
And I was thinking about that just on my way here as well. And you're probably right. And it's almost frightening for me to think about in the next 30 years because I'm already thinking about, one of the things that we've done under my tenure is the NTI, the non-traditional instruction days.
Right.
And, you know, that started out as a pilot for 10 days to offset the closing of school on those inclement weather days. And yet we know that most of our post-secondary work is done online and many actual master programs and doctorate programs are done online. And so when we start looking at the school without walls concept, which was actually back in Linda Francis' day when we were first starting to talk about that, and that was a concept that was really difficult to conceive. And now we have that at our fingertips right now.
Yeah.
So it's just hard for me to even fathom what that could be like for my grandchildren, your grandchildren, you know, the superintendent sitting here 30 years from now talking. And it's just, I mean, it's incredible.
Things change.
And, you know, during this time, we went from maybe no computers or that huge computer that was sitting in the office complex somewhere to those computers now in our phones.
Right.
You know, and we think about, I mean, I remember going back to my days working on my rank one at Moorhead, the first email, the first time I took a class that showed email. And I thought, well, this is just fancy note passing. I mean, how in the world are we going to keep kids from not interrupting our lesson because they're passing notes electronically? And that was in 1995, now. A phone I'm holding with all of these notes.
It's hard to imagine sometimes. Last night, my wife and I were at a place here in town, and my phone died. I'd let the battery which I rarely do, but I'd let it just go dead. And I was sitting there, and I thought to myself, I can remember a time when, well, we didn't even have the phones to start with. And if you were at the grocery or out to eat or wherever you were, you just didn't even know people were trying to contact you until you got back home and they called back.
That's right.
And I think about how many people in our society today has no clue of that.
Right.
They have no idea how it is. They don't know how it is to go through life a day without taking a picture on your phone.
That's right.
Boy, have things changed.
Yeah. You know, from the Polaroid where we had to wave it.
Yeah.
You know, to dry.
That's right.
So, you know, to now, amazing. Instant, and then it's just, you know, absolutely immediately amazing. uploaded to this worldwide web where everybody forever. Can see it. Yes. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it is. It's amazing. But, you know, when you think about, you're exactly right. From the time of, you know, Dr. Allen's leadership forward is just an incredible electronic age and growth period of time for all of our students. Going back from there will be our time.
Yes.
Doug, never. Back in 1967 to 1983, Hugh Adams. Mm-hmm. And of course, we knew Hugh. We knew Hugh's family.
Sure.
And
when school was kids.
Well, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. This was when the district ran double sessions. And that was that's grades 5 through 9. And that was, and I didn't even realize this till I was doing this research, 1964 to 1971. We ran double sessions at Nicholasville Elementary School that long.
Do you know something else that we had the pleasure of having Mary Helen Adams on our program?
Yes.
We talked about Buddy 1 week. And it's funny that you say what you did, because she also said that the one thing that Buddy wanted to be remembered as was a good teacher.
Yes. Yes.
You know, because your job as a superintendent, with all the things that you got to do, the decision you have to make and all that kind of stuff. But I guess that deep rooted sense of teaching never leaves. That's the important thing, isn't it?
I think if you're good, it never leaves.
Yeah.
I have always said that a good teacher is a good principal.
Yeah.
And a good superintendent also has had to be a good teacher.
Right.
And I think that's just part of who you are. It's my DNA. There's no question about it. And, you know, I'll find ways to teach my children until I'm gone. I'm sure.
Yeah.
And so I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised that Mr. Adams would have wanted to be thought of as a good teacher. And I think if you love children the way you have to love children to do this job, mm-hmm. you want them to have a better life than you had. And we know that that involves education. And we also know that that means learning every day. Learning doesn't ever stop just because you're out of school, and you want to keep growing and learning. And so I'm pleased to hear you say that about him as well. So
who was before Buddy?
Before him, we had an interim, Gail Horn. That was 1966 to 1967. And then during 1957 to 1965 was Roland Roberts. And we've talked about Roland before and the consolidation of the schools.
A very, very tough time in not only our county, but in our world.
Yes.
Well, in our country more so because of the integration of schools. And for those that are new to our community, you know, we went through it. We've had discussions on this program. I had Frank Cannon on here one day talking about his dad, who at the time was principal of Rosenwald Dunbar, not the one you're thinking about, not the elementary. This was the other one, the African-American school.
Yes.
And how it was to integrate those programs. And it wasn't just academics. It was a job, you know, because you had sports, you had teachers. I mean, it's almost kind of mind-blowing to me how all that was done, as successful as it was done. And it was rough. It was rough times, but those people were to be commended, and you're going to get to C.R. Hager, but the things that they went through in their jobs during that period of time.
Yes. And Doug, I was actually privileged to be superintendent during the 50th reunion. Mm-hmm. And Richard Harden, who is our historian along with Virginia Simpson, did a remarkable job looking at the history and the timeline of that era. And, you know, we watched part of that unfold, but we were really young.
Mm-hmm.
And so it seemed like an old newsreel to me when I think back to that. But then when I heard Richard relate the kinds of things that Superintendent Roland Rogers and Superintendent Hager went through during this phase of time in our community and that integration, and you're exactly right, how difficult it was to come to terms with the fact that you had two distinct faculties and two distinct sports teams and coaches, and not just, it wasn't as easy as it sounds to just put two schools together and everybody gets along and everybody has a job. It wasn't that at all. We had to build a brand new system with two old systems. You know, you and I grew up in an era where we didn't think anything about an integrated school. Right. I mean, that was just what we knew. Yeah, that was just what we knew. You know, our friends were our friends. It didn't matter where they lived mm-hmm. and or where they had come from. And yet, when I look through this history, it's just amazing to think that, you know, there was prejudice here that these men very bravely had to deal with. And, you know, I know with Superintendent Hager, we were talking about him. You know, he actually came 49 to 57. And that was when the Supreme Court decision was handed down about segregation of schools in 1954. And I've heard his son talk about the fact that there were horrible things that were said to he and to his family.
Yes, very much so.
There were effigies that were burned.
Yes, there was.
And, you know, when I think about that, for lack of better terms, Doug, closed-mindedness mm-hmm. of that era. Mm-hmm. And yet these very brave men said, these are kids. Mm-hmm. These are all kids. Mm-hmm. You know, without respect of color, we need to make sure that everyone has the opportunity to grow and learn in this community. And I'm very proud to have stood on those shoulders.
And I don't think that people in our community truly realize how lucky we were, Jessamyn County, to have those people.
Right.
I can't think of anybody in my life that I've ever met or known that probably could have handled it better than C.R. Hager.
Right.
Just can't. I mean, he was the man for the job.
Right.
He was put there for a reason.
Right. I agree.
And that's why. I know you could probably go further back, but we're just about out of time. And I have some questions I want to ask you. In your opinion, in lieuing what you know about the history of Jessamyn County schools, what do you think is maybe, and I know there's many, but maybe one of the best things that has ever happened in Jessamyn County schools from back when you and I were there to now? What is something that if you had to pick is a great, and I know there's a lot.
Well, I'd like to think that we are very forward-minded and that we are constantly looking for the future, what's coming, mm-hmm. so that we are proactive and that we are constantly staying ahead mm-hmm. of the curve. I think that where we're situated, centrally located here in the state of Kentucky, we have so many opportunities to college. Mm-hmm. So that's a real bonus for us. We have a lot of opportunities for scholars to come to us and for us to go to scholars. So that's wonderful. I also am very proud, and I think one of the other great things that we've done perhaps recently is our connection with the community, back to the community. Mm-hmm. Feel like we've come back to our roots, the whole college and career movement, not so one-sided college, now a balance, I think, listening to the community saying we want to bring back the youth that we have here now.
Yeah.
To come back and give back to their community, very much like you and I have done.
Right.
You know, you and I have talked so many times about the fact that we are who we are because of mm-hmm. folks here in our community. Mm-hmm. And we felt a calling mm-hmm. to come back. Mm-hmm. And so I'm really excited about the fact that we continue to breed that into the minds of our children.
Right.
That you come here, you get a good education, you go away and gain experience. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Mm-hmm. But then you certainly come back and you give back to your community. And you make this a better place because of who you are and what you've experienced. So I'm really excited about that. And again, I just think it's a safe place. It's a safe community. We've spent a great deal of money, a great deal of time investing in keeping our children safe. And that's very important. And again, I think the fact that it's a great place to live. It's a great mm-hmm. place to work. And when families bring their children here because we have a great school system, I think that investment says a great deal about our community. Sure. So it would be hard for me to pinpoint, Doug. I would have had to have spent a little bit more time thinking about that in 30 years. We've had great teachers.
Yeah.
We've had wonderful people who have grown up invested in this community, who have left their indelible mark on us and upon this community.
I was telling somebody not long ago, and I know that not everybody can say what I'm about to say. And I'm one of the fortunate ones. I'm one of the lucky ones. But I look back in my 12 years in Jessamyn County Schools, I really cannot think of a bad teacher that I had.
No.
I can't. Now, there are some that I'm not going to say I liked more than others. I enjoyed more than others, just maybe because of what they taught me.
Right.
It might be that I like their subject, you know, different reasons. There's all different reasons. You know, and I look back over those 12 years and I think about Virginia Reynolds as my first grade teacher who took me out of the lunch line because I looked up and read the sign that said cafeteria. And she took me back to the room and took my lunch with me and said, start reading this book.
Yes.
I'll
yes.
never forget her yes. doing that.
Yes.
And I remember, you know, people like Sally Hale in third grade, who when I went through a lot of sickness was nice enough to work with my mom to make sure my homework got to me so that I wouldn't get left behind.
Yes. Yes.
And I remember those kind of things. And I remember Helen Reynolds cooking liver on a Bunsen burner in junior high and all this stuff. I didn't have a bad person in my life in Jessamine County Schools.
And I would totally agree with that. Totally agree with that. And one of my most vivid memories is the fact that my teachers not only taught me English and math and decoding, which we call reading, but they also taught me how to be a good person.
Sure.
They taught me how to be a young lady.
Sure.
I remember Loretta Conyers taking me aside and saying, Kathy, those boys are going to get you in trouble because I thought everything they said was funny and I was laughing. And I remember that to this day. And, and you know, she was actually still teaching when I became principal at Nicholasville Elementary School. So that came full circle. But they invested in me as a person.
Right.
And, you know, we lived in a time when my mom and my dad respected my teachers. And if I got in trouble at school, I got in trouble more so at home. And so when my teacher said, I want you to settle down and stop giggling because, you know, Scott Blankenship said something that's funny, turn around. I did because I knew, one, if I didn't, I was going to get in trouble. Two, she was going to tell my mom. And so that was important to me. And so I feel like they were building my character as well as my academic capacity. So I just appreciate that so much. And again, when we see them, you know, those that are still left here. When I see Terry Leach, you know, she was such a great business teacher. And it was hard for me to call her Terry the first time I ran into her because, you know, she just left such an incredible mark on me as a person. And what I'm so proud of is that when I look back, when I'm sitting in the gymnasiums or I'm sitting in an auditorium and I'm hearing the choirs or I'm seeing an art project or I'm watching a ball game, and students come up to me and they hug me and they talk about their life or they share experiences with me, I'm hoping that I'll one day be the Loretta Conyers or I'll be the Terry Leach or I'll be the Richard Harden that folks say, hey, I remember you when and you shared with me this and that I left something inside of them that was way more valuable than just learning. So,
and let me say to any young people who might be listening to our broadcast, you may be hearing us say all this and thinking, huh, yeah, right. Let me just tell you, get a little age on you and you start looking back and you start thinking about these teachers. And one day, it may be a while, but one day, your eyes will open and you'll go, you know what? That really was the best time of my life.
Yeah, exactly.
It takes time.
Exactly.
It takes time.
I tell Marshall and Alexander when they were young, I would say, I love you enough to make you mind.
Yeah.
And now at 27 and 23, they say, you know, it was hard for me to understand but I understand that
it
now.
It takes time.
Yeah, you loved me then. And so it was a great opportunity.
Great. Kathy, thank you. I wish we had more time, but I appreciate you doing this. And maybe we can get together again and talk about some other things. But I appreciate the contribution that you've made and all of our people that are employed by the Jessamine County Schools. And when you think about schools, most people just think about teachers. It's more than that, folks.
Right.
It takes people working in the lunchrooms. It takes people riding the buses.
Right.
It takes our custodians to keep the places clean.
Team.
It's everybody raising your child.
Our team.
And teachers are a part of it. But there's a whole lot of people. How many employees you have?
We have 1,500, and that's Team Jessamine. We celebrated the opening of school this year in the West Jessamine Gymnasium. Mm-hmm. And first time ever in the history, we pulled everybody together, and we are a team. And it does take a team.
It does
We have 8,200 students currently enrolled, 105 buses. That takes a lot of people to do what we do every day. And I'm eternally grateful for every one of those employees.
And the last thing that we want to say thanks to is our parents, of course, for the support that you give, not only your child, but your school.
Absolutely.
And we know that it's hard sometimes. Yes. You know, the days that you and I were at school, it was a little easier for our moms to be a room mom, yes, and bring cupcakes and great. But you, and I know times change, yes, and work changes, and people have to do that. And yes, we know that some of you may not be able to do that. The mere fact you have your child at school, yes, is doing more than you can realize. Yes. So, thanks to you parents out there for your support of making our school system.
That's right.
Great.
And we just value the fact that they entrust them every day. And right, we don't take that lightly.
Right.
That's very, very important to us. And we are looking to bolster our family involvement. Mm-hmm. And we certainly do love it when our parents come to our schools. Yeah.
Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you, Doug.
My thanks to Kathy Fields, our superintendent of Jessamine County Schools, for helping me reminisce about some of the other people that have held the job that she has. It is our pleasure to come to you every Saturday morning here on Jess FM. We hope that you'll come back next Saturday morning at 11 when we do it again. I also hope you'll join me on my regular show every weekday morning from 6 to 8 a.m. right here on Jess FM 105.9.
In 1934, a brand new house cost about $6,000. The cost of a gallon of gas was 10 cents. And in 1934, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County opened their doors at 200 North Main Street in Nicholasville. And they've been there ever since. The times may have changed, but Farmers Bank is still here. Still proud to be the only locally owned and locally operated bank in Jessamine County. Banking with friends and neighbors. Farmers Bank, Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.